Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We continue our theme. Of course, our month of February is Family Month. And we, of course, going to talk about the family. And today we're looking at the role of a loving husband. How a husband should be to his wife and his children. And today we're going to look at this. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. As one thing, I'll get to this. Just let me get together here. If you have your Bible, paper Bible, or on your iPhones and iPads, however you have the Word of God, let's look at it. And let's look at verse 23. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the body is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loveth the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nurtureth and cherisheth, and even as the Lord the church." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, you have much to say about marriage and family and children in your word. Lord, society doesn't teach the way you teach. Lord, help us today as your children, Lord, to look at the ways of the Lord, the way a house, the way a Christian home should function. And I pray, Father, Lord, all of us, including me, need to learn. We didn't arrive yet. We're still learning this great task to be a loving husband. And I pray, Father, please help me this morning as I teach. And Lord, help every husband here and every young person here that is not married, Lord, help them to listen, to learn the ways of the Lord, how a husband should be. And for those of older age, I pray that they would learn as well so they can teach the younger generation. And Father, Lord, if there's someone here that never received Jesus as Savior, may today they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's not by mistake. I mean, I choose, as long as I'm a pastor here, Lord willing, as long as I'm a pastor here, I always take February as family month. And I did it purposely because Valentine's Day comes on February, so I said it's an easy month to choose. And I think we need to teach much to our society about marriage and children and how a husband should be, our wife should be, and our children should be in a home. We live in a broken society, folks. A very broken society. Look at the divorce rate in our society. It's very high. The breaking down of the family is a sad issue. And let me tell you today, I don't try to offend anyone. That's not my purpose. I'm just proclaiming. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a proclaimer of God's word. But let me tell you, many people are choosing to live together instead of being married. And say, what's the difference? The difference is very easy. The difference is you're living in sin. That's the difference, and you have to answer God someday for that. And when you're married, you honor the covenant that you made between you, your spouse, and God. Which is a huge difference. Society doesn't seem to understand that. So let me tell you this. In order for any organization, large or small, to function effectively, roles and responsibilities must be clearly understood. In a home, to function well, that home must be organized. That means the wife knows her role, the husband knows her role, and the children know their role. Otherwise, it's chaos. We wonder why we have so much divorce, because it's chaos. People fail to understand their position in marriage. It is not only important to know one's role, it's to know how to properly fulfill that role. Let me tell you, folks, there are a lot of guys out there, they don't act properly like a husband should act. Actually, in the home, they're tyrants. They are the ones who want to be served, and everybody else are to bow down to them. And they say, "Yes, Mr. King, we will serve you today." That's not the way a husband should function in a home. Never been God's intention to do that. So now this is true in any organization. The more important in a marriage, let me tell you, for any organization to survive and to flourish and to be the way, you know, maybe the owner of that organization wants to be, it's got to be well organized from the very top to the very bottom. Otherwise, the organization will eventually melt away and close its doors and die down. And that's what the same thing with the family. When the family is not organized well, and both husband and wife and the children don't have the mindset in which they're supposed to function in that family is heading for destruction. And this, unfortunately, happens quite often in our society. I think all of you know here, maybe you've been divorced, you've been remarried, and you yourself know of many people that been divorced or going through this place of divorce right now. But this is happening. But, you know, God forgives and we move on. But let me tell you this. I want to teach you today about a loving husband. What is the function? What is the responsibility of a husband in a relationship? So in God's plan for a happy home, the husband is called to be the leader of the home. And many wives says, over my dead body. So the husband is not called to be a tyrant in God's economy, but to be a loving leader. It is love that builds the home, folks. I say love, the word love is a action verb. And you got to put action into that word. And is a home is to be built with love, not with tyranny. It is love that builds the atmosphere in a marriage that encourages the wife to respond to her husband's leadership. In fact, most women seek love and security of a loving husband's leadership. And most women want security in the home. They want to feel that they are loved by their husbands. Two words summarize the teaching of God's word regarding the role of the husband. The words are the lover and leader. The husband's role is to head the home or lead the home in a state, as the Bible describes here, but not lead the home the way maybe you're thinking about. It's my way or the highway. That's not the way God teaches, folks. Some guys, that's the way they lead their home. It's my way or the highway. That's not the way God teaches. However, it should be noted that the husband's role of a lover is commended by God and is a motivating key for the husband's leadership to his wife and his family. He is to lead by, listen to this, example. Now, do as I say, don't do as I do. It doesn't work in God's economy. We have to lead by example. Ever heard someone one time a person said to me, I don't have any friends. Nobody likes me. Why don't you make yourself friendly? You might make a lot of friends. The problem sometimes is not others, it is us. So failure to practice Christian-like love destroys her husband's ability to lead. I'm not trying to talk down on ladies here this morning, believe me, because some of them are extremely intelligent and they can lead the home better than their husbands can. Believe me. For an example, I go very far. When I grew up in my mom and dad's home, my mom was the greatest secretary. Because my dad, he would just give everything away to people. He was just that giving. My mom was like, she still is. You know, you got to be one in a home that says, this is what we do things. You know, but it's got to be in that atmosphere of love, and the wife does that to build the leadership of her husband. She can say, sweetheart, I don't lead, but I can be the best secretary you can have. So fathers and husbands, you may not think much about this, but you have an awesome responsibility before God to be a loving, kind, trustworthy leader to your family. Now, I don't want to forget the single moms that are in our country, and believe me, there are thousands of them. You become husbands and moms at the same time. I tell you what, I admire those ladies. Where's the guy? He left, he's gone. And she's there taking care of all that herself. I applaud those ladies. I really do. They didn't walk away. They take and give their kids through their struggles and through their tears and hardship. They move on, and they become mom and dad at the same time. So let's look at the role of a loving husband from several points this morning. Number one, then you outline the husband as a lover. Let me remind you that love, like I said, is expressed in action. Listen, it's wonderful to say I love you, but it's cheap to say I love you. Anybody can say it. You can hate somebody and still say, hey, I love you. Because it's cheap words. Love always requires action. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, what He did? He gave, wow, His only Son to go to Calvary's cross. Why? So He can pay the penalty you and I cannot pay. What He did, God loves you and me, and He said to you and me, I'm going to show to you how much I love you. So when you look at Calvary's cross, you see Jesus with His hands right open. That's how much He loves you. So God put His love into action, and God says to the husband, the husband is to love his wife the way Christ loves His church. You see that? You are willing to die for your spouse. If you have to. That's the way we are to love. We husbands are to love our wives. With that deep love, the same love that Jesus loves you. Anything less, it doesn't work. Along with a sense of sole responsibility, there's an even greater need for husbands to practice a leadership in a Christ-like love that motivates a wife to respond to the husband's leadership with trust. Listen, the more we put our love into action, let me tell you, the more you're going to have a loving wife around you. Let me give you an example. Just imagine a man who has a badly hurt his hand. He wants to reach into his pocket. Let me say you have several stitches in your hand and you want to, let me say, get some change out of your pocket. I don't believe you go, and take it out. You're gonna baby that hand all the way down your pocket because you don't want to feel the pain. Isn't that true? Well, he slowly and cautiously does that. That's the way we ought to take care of our spouses. Take care of them because they are the weaker vessel. So, letter A there, the nature of a husband's love. Look at verse 25. Husbands, this is a command, folks, right here. Love, action word, your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So from the Lord's viewpoint, a husband's love for his wife should be patterned after the love of Christ. Like I said, how much Jesus loves you, look at Calvary's cross. God didn't just say, I love you folks in there. I know you guys are dying in sin, but, you know, do the best you can. Well, that doesn't work that way. God said, I'm going to show it to you. And what he did, he went all the way to Calvary's cross. One time I went to a marriage retreat, and I said, I'll never go to another one until I start doing mine. And I learned from those things, and this is what happened. The ladies went to one room, the guys went to another room, and we got there, we sat down, and the first thing out of this special speaker, he looks at us and says, guys, let me tell you, I learned from my experience, he's supposed to be married like for 40 some years, and he said, when it comes to marriage, do the best you can. I said, excuse me? I came here to learn to be a better husband and do the best you can. This is what I'm doing right now. I said, I don't go no more to this place. I just stopped. I mean, so anyway. But the nature of a husband's love. How are you and me ought to love our spouses? Let me tell you. Husbands, you are commanded to love your wife the way Christ loves you. That's something to chew on. That is a deep, deep love. The word nurture. Oh, we don't have that. That TV is off. That one back there is off. I was looking at it. That one is off. I'm sorry, it's not part of the message, but it's off. So the word nurture means to strengthen and build up. This helps the wife to grow spiritually as well, physically and emotionally. The word cherish speaks of the attitude of caring, valuing, and looking after one's wife. The wife likes to feel secure in a home, likes to believe or as the emotional feeling that actually her husband loves her and cares for her. Let it be the expression of a the husband's love. Look at verse 25. Again, the same verse. Husbands, love your wives as even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. As the manner of expressing love, Jesus is the pattern, like I said, for every husband to follow. Let me tell you, put it this way. Listen, the world have two types of homes. The world have a home that is, some people have homes that are shaped by the society. That's the way they live, the way society shaped their minds. But there is another home here. It's called a Christian home that is shaped by the mind of Christ. You see, you either have one or the other. You either have a home that is shaped by the world or have a home that is shaped by the mind of Christ. My question to you, which home do you have? If you want a home that is shaped by the body of Christ, let me tell you, you need to go home and put Christ there. And husbands, that is your responsibility. You are the one to lead your family to the house of God. God called you to do that. You are the one to lead your family in prayer. You are the one to lead your family in Bible study. You are the one to lead your family in the loving. You are to show your wife how much you love her and care for her, not just buying these expensive things. Listen, some people, I was talking with a young man this week, and he actually said to me, you know, I appreciate your generation. Some of you have been married for so long. And he asked me how long I've been married. I said, I've been married this year. We're celebrating 32 years. He said to me, you can't find a good woman anymore. They expect you to spend all this money on them, and I don't even have money to spend on them. So the society shapes the mind of the generation that they have to have all these things in order to be happy. I told him, I said, Noah, when you take a lady out, be who you are. At least she knows who you are and what she's getting when she gets married. Don't make believe in a fantasy world that does not exist. And some people do that. And when in the second day of marriage, oh, what a mistake I made. No, I have to be reality. See, number one, he loves her sacrificially. Christ love for his church was a self-sacrificing love for the believers. Believers good. In fact, while Jesus went to Calvary's cross, it was a sacrificial and in his part. He had to sacrifice his body for our sin. Let me tell you, listen, sometimes it's not easy to love our wives. Sometimes they can be stubborn. Sometimes, you know, it can be all kinds of things. I'm trying to put you down here today. But, you know, we are humans and we fail, and let me tell you, but God calls us to love our wives sacrificially. It's not like if it doesn't work, I walk out. No. If when things don't work out, we sit down and we talk about it for the good of the marriage. His love was such intense, and God says we have to love his wife the way I love you, with a sacrificial love. Folks, sacrificial love is not just lip talking. Sacrificial love demands action in our part. It demands that we put them first. Real sacrificial love not only involves feeling for one another, but also produces selfless sacrifice giving. Let me tell you how you do that. Your husband is to put himself last and put his wife up. You are to make that wife feel good, feel like she's loved and she's cared because you love her. Is that easy to do that? No. Because we, as humans, we have a tendency to say, me first. And God says to you and me, you last. The husband who practices sacrificial love gives up his ego for the sake of his wife. This speaks loudly of a man that just sits for hours and watching TV and demands everything from his wife. Honey, give me this. Oh, give me that. Give me this. And he's sitting on the throne. That shouldn't be that way, folks. Number two, he loves his wife realistically. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, Christ's love for us, when we were sinful, unlovable, unresponding to Him, He was realistically went to Calvary's cross with a purpose so you could get saved. So we have the reality of accepting Him as your Savior. And He did that many years ago before you were even born. It was a realistic love. He loves you. He said, I'm going to do this for you. And let me tell you, we husbands have to do the same thing for our spouses if we're going to love our wives the way Christ loves the church. And you might be thinking, you don't know my wife. No, you don't know my wife either. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is the way God commands us as husbands to love our wives. A major cause of divorce is a false and unrealistic view of marriage that prompts impossible expectations from marriage partners. You see, in a day when adultery is taken lightly, the Christian husband who is following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be committed to his wife. Guys, let me put it this way. Your eyes are for your wife only, not for anybody else. In a workplace, your eyes are for your wife only, not for anybody else. We live in a society that nobody cares, but if we're going to have a Christian home, if we're going to put Christ in the center of our home, if we're going to love our wives the way Christ loves the church, these eyes of ours are to be set on them and the beauty that they have, not anybody else. The problem of our society is because husbands are laying the eyes on other people. That is the problem. Husband, it takes commitment and sacrificial love to care for your spouse. A marriage without commitment will not last. It needs that commitment from both husband and wife in order for that marriage to survive the test of time. We ought to love our wives even when they hurt our feelings. When a guy says, you hurt me too much and I cannot forgive you, that's a doomsday right there. Did you ever went to Jesus and you felt that He never forgave you? Did you ever ask Jesus to forgive you of something you did wrong and you get up and you said, I don't think He forgave me? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says He will forgive you. Let me tell you, if we're going to love our spouses, our wives, the way Christ commands us to love, we always have to have a forgiving heart. Understanding, committed, forgiving heart. We should love our wives with the same intensity and commitment that Christ loves His church. Number three, He loves His wife purposefully. Look at verse 27. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So Christ's love for the believer as a purpose of spiritual perfecting the believer like. Likewise, the Christian husband's love for their wife should have a purpose of her betterment and above all her spiritual being. This means that the husband should spiritually lead the way and encourage the wife to grow in the same way. Let me tell you this: it is for the husband to encourage his wife to be a godly woman, to read her Bible, to pray, but where the example come from? From Him. Don't expect your wife to do those things if you yourself are not doing. The example starts with you. Listen, folks. You have children? They're watching you. Guys, you might not think so, but your children are watching us. They're learning. We think that they learn more from their peers. They learn a lot from mom and dad. And let me tell you, they can tell if your heart is in the right place or not. They can tell. Love your wife purposefully. Show your children that mom is loved, that you care for her, that she's the most important person in your life. There's nobody else in your mind but her. She has a place in your heart, and you love her sacrificially, and you are committed to that marriage. You have a covenant that you have made with God. Number four, his love, he loves his wife willfully. And of course, I choose this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 does not say that God so loved the world that he felt sentimental about it, but rather he gave his only Son. That's a deep love. And let me tell you, when a husband to love his wife the way Christ loves his church, if he's going to pattern himself that love after Christ, let me tell you, we love our wife with no strings attached. We give all of our love to them. That's what God requires of us and commands us to do as Christian husbands, to love our wives with everything we have, sacrificially, love them. Don't hold anything back. I'm going to hold this piece for me. No, you give everything to her. And some people say, well, that I don't look like this guy in the house. You'd be surprised how much he will respect you. So the Christian love is a sacrificial love. Listen, the worldly love is like, you know, even today, society is like, if it works, works. If it doesn't work, go to move on to something else. Well, the Christian love doesn't have it. The Christian love is a love until death do us part. That's the way God commands us to do. And you say, but I've been divorced and remarried. When you have a new wife, love her the way Christ loves the church. Listen, folks, if a person goes into a marriage without any commitment, whosoever toward, I tell you, without any commitment at all, let me tell you, that marriage is destined for destruction. This happens every single day in our world. People go into marriage with no commitment at all, and the marriages don't last long. And the statistic says today that most marriages don't last about 2 years. What about those marriages that went on for 50 years, 55 years, 60 years, and they're still holding hands together, smiling at one another? I mean, I look at remember my grandma and my grandpa in their 70s. They're still holding hands. And I could see, because I used to go to my grandparents' house a lot, I could see that glaring in their eyes. The love was there. And that's a wonderful thing. I saw that in my mom and dad as well. But Leah, we live in a world today that is not like that anymore. But let me tell you, a husband is to love his wife the way Christ loves his church. Number five, he is to love his wife unconditionally. Look what it says in verse 28. So are men to love his wife as his own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall join unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. You know, you ever put super glue together, put two pieces together? It's like husband and wife have to be super glue. When they get married, they put glue in there and they become one. Nothing to rip them apart. They become one together. Same mind, same goal, same dreams. That's how you move forward with a godly marriage. Number five, he is to love his wife. Oh, I already said unconditionally. So the expression to love their wives as their own bodies and the two shall be one flesh speaks of unconditional, unbreakable love that does not cease regardless of the circumstances. We had a governor in Rhode Island many years ago. I'm not going to mention his name. Maybe you should go search if you're that curious. His wife is married. He's still the governor. And his wife got run by a car in Newport. And, of course, she mentally was gone. She just, you know, she got hurt from that accident. She got run over by somebody just hit her as she was walking on the road. You know what? He divorced her because she was no longer capable of being a wife. For better, for good, and for worse, she's still my wife. See, we live in this world, and today, if it doesn't fit my agenda, then I get rid of you. That's not the way God calls us to do. The other day was a pastor of a church in this college, and he stepped down because he had to go home and take care of his sick wife. He said, I love my career, I love my job, but my wife needs me. That's a love. There's an unconditional love. That's that covenant that comes to the service I made with God, and I keep my part. Love your wife unconditionally. So number one, so we see the husband as a lover. Number two, the husband as a leader. A husband must love right before he can lead his wife right and his family the right way. As love, it is love that builds the atmosphere in marriage, that encourages wife to respond to her husband. Leadership. In fact, the nature of a woman seeks security in a home. A husband is not to lead as a tyrant, demanding everything to be put on his lap by those who live in a home, but a husband is called to be a loving leader. Letter A there in the second point, he is to be the spiritual leader in the home. Sad to say that this is coming either in our church. I'd say we have a good amount of men here, which is a blessing. Actually, we had a speaker that came here last year, and he said to me, he said, well, I am very taken back how many men you have in your church. So praise the Lord for that. Because the average church is more ladies than men. So who's leading the family to the house of God? The wife or the mother's doing. Where's the father? Oh, he went golfing. Or he went fishing. Or he went to have time with a good time with his friends. Folks, that's not leading by example. You wonder why the kids grow up, teenagers end up going and mess up their lives and get hang with the wrong crowd? Let me tell you, it started somewhere. Mom and dad or dad sets the pattern and say, this is where we go, guys. It takes sacrifice. It takes work. But let me tell you, we're shaping the mind and the heart of the next generation that is coming before us. So it starts with dad. My heart goes to single ladies. They need a man there to take care of those guys. I don't care what society says. Kids need a father. He used to be that spiritual leader in a home. Listen, it's not a weak thing for a child to see dad and his knees praying. It actually is a strong thing. Oh, my dad believes in God. My dad has faith in God. What do you think that child is going to do? When that child is crying, when that child is struggling, guess what that child is going to do? He's going to do the same thing dad is doing. He's going to look for God. So it's not a weak thing. It is a strong thing to rely on God to lead our homes. How many times I had to ask God to help me to be a better husband? How many times I took to God and said, Lord, I blew it today. I was not the husband that I should have been for my wife. I hurt her feelings. I haven't been the right father to my children today. Lord, please forgive me. But I had somebody to go to. The Lord. Number one, or let it be, dear, or let it be, I'm sorry, used to be the provider. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provided not for his own, he's speaking to husbands here, and especially to those of his own house, he had denied the faith, he's worse than an infidel. Ladies, let me tell you this. Or husband, let me tell you this. We live in a society that many ladies go to work every day, and some of them are very intelligent, have great careers. I'm not telling you go quit your job. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying to you is this. To the guys, if your wife goes to work every day, please often say to her, thank you for helping me provide for the family. Because ultimately, God is the one who's calling the husband to be the provider for the family. It's in God's word. He is to be the provider. But if you go on out there, let me tell you, if she goes out there, say thank you to her often. Remind her. Do you appreciate what she's doing? Because she's helping you. Now, husbands, if your wife goes to work every day to help you financially for the needs of the family, when you come home, help her. Go wash the dishes. Go cook if you have to. Clean the house. Dust the furniture. Don't be a critic. Be a helper. Because guess what? She goes to get a job. She comes home for her second job. She needs help. That's how we sacrificially love our wives. Be that provider that God wants you to be. Let us see. He is a manager. He is a manager. 1 Timothy 3:4 says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if any man not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Now, I know he's talking about the deacons here, but he can get this principle and apply to our homes as well. Let me tell you, in some homes, every home is different. Today we live in even differently, which it's different than my generation. Today we have the ladies have their own bills, and the guys have their own bills, and they pay these bills. I don't know how that works, but that's not my generation. My generation is which is mine is hers, which is hers is mine. We are a family. That's the way my generation is. But today works differently. But let me tell you, some guys, like I took an example of my daddy, some guys are not good managers, financial managers. They're not good. That's when we rely on our spouses. They might be better managers than we are. Amen. Let them do it. Let them take care of it. You got to trust them. I tell you what, everything my mom and dad ever had, it was because of my mother, not my father. My father was an awful manager. And let me tell you, my dad was a construction worker, and when I began to work for him, guess what I ended up doing? Managing his business, because he could not even do that. He could go to work, but managing his business, forget it. He was that bad. And late in life, he said, he admitted, everything that I have is because of my wife, not because of me, because I can't do this. So, be a good manager in your home. If your wife is better with finances than you, then let her do it. Let her do it. Love her. Admire her for where she is. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of intelligent young lady out there. Letter D. He is an intelligent leader. Look what it says. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I want you to see that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I want you to see this verse right there. It's easy for me to read because I already have the verses in front of me. But sometimes it's good for you to see those things. He has to be an intelligent leader. He leads his home. Look what it says. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them whom? Your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So a husband's leadership involves an intelligent, a sense of responsibility in the home. God's judgment is, I understand that a wife needs a husband that has a goal, a mindset of where this family is going to go. And 1 Peter says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell them according to knowledge." Knowledge means understanding. Be an understanding husband. Don't be so callous and cold and hard-headed that you don't care. Try to be understanding towards your spouse. Be sensitive. Listen to them. You know, so most guys say like this: when they speak, it goes this way, it goes out the other way. I only retain about 5% of what they say. Well, that's not the way God calls a Christian husband to be. It's to look in their eyes and listen to what they say. Sometimes, you know, that's what we need to do. Listen, this is my tendency. If I'm stop fooling around when my wife is talking and doing things, I'm not listening to her. But if I look deep in her eyes and she's talking, I am listening to her. And that means, I don't know how you do it, how you listen, but we need to listen to them. They need somebody to talk with. You know, guys say, you know, wives, the woman, they talk too much. I think in my home is the opposite. I talk too much, right, honey? But see, we need to, listen, the commitment, the sacrificial love in there for one another, we need to see the weakness of each other, and we need to compensate with each other and say, okay, she needs to talk, I need to listen. Or he needs to talk, I need to listen. That's what makes marriages. Listen, if your wife wants to talk to you and you're not there to listen to her, who she's going to talk with? The guy in the office? It happens many times, folks. They find somebody to talk with because they need to talk. He is an intelligent leader. He listens to his children. Oh, he's just a kid. No, he's a person. You need to listen to them. They have needs as well. Number one, he is an intelligent leader who listens. Like I just said, he listens. So letter E, he is a considerate leader. 1 Peter 3:7, there says, as honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel. Another responsibility of a husband's leadership is deliberately honor his wife for who she is. A husband is to honor his wife both privately and publicly. Those lips of ours should never be trashing our spouses in a workplace. I say this because that's what I listen almost every day. And honestly say to these people, listen, why are you talking bad about your wife? I never met your wife. Why? I don't want to be get involved in this thing. But that happens often. If we honor our wives, we don't go and trash them to other people. Or privately or publicly. Even amongst family members. We honor them for who they are. Remember that leadership starts with you. You see, the pattern for your family, both privately and publicly, starts with the husband. There's no place for downgrading one's wife. The wife is to be honored by her husband in a home and outside the home. Your children need to see that daddy, listen to this, loves, respects, and honors mom. I always make sure that my kids know that besides her being their mother, she is my wife. I don't say this in a mean way. I want respect. I want them to respect her for who she is. She is my wife and mom in the same time. But I think it starts with us, husbands, to honor our wives, to respect them, to talk good about them. Folks, there are many husbands, like I said, in the workplace constantly, what they do is trashing and degrading the person they're supposed to respect and honor and love. How many husbands make jokes to friends and family members sometimes about their wife's mistakes and weakness? Instead of all this nonsense, a husband should be a person that upholds his wife. Sometimes people say to me, how could you never talk about your wife? That's in the workplace. I said, I have nothing to talk about with you. I said, what do you want to know? She loves me, she cares about me, and I respect her. We are to love our wives. Again, I conclude with this. There are two types of homes in this world. And all of us here who are married are in one of those homes. You either, your home is shaped by the world, by society, or your home is shaped by the Word of God. You are in one of those. Do you want to live your life and shape your family the way God tells in His Word? You need to put God in the center of this home. And guys, let me tell you, it starts with us. We are the ones who set the pattern. Because we ought to love our wives the way Jesus loves you. Otherwise, it won't work. There are many Christians who don't have Christian homes. They have worldly homes. They don't pattern their home after Christ. They pattern their world after their house after the world. So husbands, what God commands of you and me today is to love your wife the way Christ loves the church. I hope that is your desire today. And you say, Lord, I am committed to love my wife the way you love me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love of Jesus, for his unconditional love for us as sinners. We don't deserve such love, but you give that to us. And Lord, help us to love our wives the way you love us. Lord, is a sacrificial, is a deep love. But Lord, we are commanded as Christians to love our spouses that way. And may our children see that Daddy loves Mom with such an intense love. May they feel secure in their homes because Mom and Dad love each other. May they have that security in their hearts that Mom and Dad are there for the long run. And they're going to be together because Mom and Dad love each other. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that never received you as Lord and Savior, they never really repent of their sin and call upon you for salvation, may today they do that. May they call upon you. In Jesus' name, I pray.